You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
So when does it start?
It starts in the ocean. Oh, and when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta. Make these opposites back up like lobsters, indigenous warriors.
Happy New Year, faith and family. Blessings. May you each experience the unconditional love of God and share that love with others. Amen. Welcome, faith and family. Today we have the honored guest, Judge Grady L. Pettigrew, Jr., the Honorable Judge Grady L. Pettigrew, Jr. And our topic is Serving Civil Service, talking about the Civil Service Commission of Columbus, Ohio, and serving as a civil service commissioner for 22 years. It's wonderful to have you as our faith and family guest today, Judge Pettigrew. Please introduce yourself and welcome.
Well, thank you for having me. And you say, Judge, I served on the federal bankruptcy court. I practiced law for many, many years. I've been retired from that now. I've taught law at both the Ohio State University Law School as well as the Capital University Law School. I've authored two books on the subject of bankruptcy law and spent many years as an international speaker talking about law, business, and certainly bankruptcy. So the Civil Service Commission is the most recent work, but all of those other things that I mentioned have been a part of what I've done over many, many years.
Well, it's certainly wonderful to have you. You know, the first thing I wanted to ask you, for those in our audience who don't know what civil service is, could you talk about civil service in general? What is that?
Well, civil service is a designation for people who work for a governmental entity, such as a city. Certainly, the employees of our federal government are civil service employees. So as opposed to an employee of a major corporation, they would never be called a civil servant. They would be called an employee of United Airlines or AT&T. But if they work for a city, large or small, they would be designated as civil servants.
Could you give an example, possibly, of a career or jobs or positions that might be in the category of civil service?
Well, the most obvious civil servant across the country is the mayor of a city. The mayor is not a private employee. They are a civil servant. But in addition to that, the mayor's secretary would be a civil servant. The most we see in the media of civil servants are police and fire. And, of course, fire, they have the firefighters, but also the medics who respond to 911 calls. So, in other words, we have a broad range. But remember, the business of cities is carried out by many, many people. So we have in Columbus a water department. They take water from sources, the dam, Hoover Dam or Alum Creek or Scioto River, and they purify that water, treat it so that it's safe for us to drink. Those people in that process are civil servants. In addition, the person who sends you the water bill, who is in an office somewhere and they figure out how much you've used or whatever is reported, and they're the ones who actually either put it in the mail or somehow get it to you, they're civil service employees. So there's a wide range of people. We have a lot of young people who know that the Parks and Recreation Department has a lot of civil servants. They are there when they go to play basketball, or in the summer when they're playing tennis or having other activities. Those are civil servant employees also.
That's wonderful. About how many civil servants are there in Columbus?
Well, and Columbus has over 8,000 civil servants.
Wonderful.
Certainly the large number of those are police, which is around 1,800 officers and 300 civilians, and fire, which is close to that same number. So even in the safety division, you're talking about nearly half of the city employees.
That's a lot. So that means there are opportunities to serve Columbus, a great number of them.
Yes.
If someone wanted a position as a civil servant in Columbus and wanted to help carry out the business of running the city of Columbus, how might they go about applying for or getting a position?
Well, the Civil Service Commission has been charged, even under the charter for the city of Columbus, with the administration of testing and the determination of qualification for employment. So if you have a person who has special skills, they're in accounting or finance, they will end up taking a civil service exam. They'll use their resume and their credentials, but they'll end up taking a civil service exam. We have a very few positions that are based simply on qualification, and they don't have to take an exam. But most of those are mayoral appointments. So in other words, the mayor decides that they want a person to handle or head a certain department. But for the people who work in that department, they're going to end up taking an exam of some kind, presenting their qualifications to the Civil Service Commission, and civil service will, in fact, indicate that they are qualified for that position. And then, of course, the city council is consulted as a part of this whole process. So even if the mayor appoints, the city council ends up consenting or agreeing with that appointment. And that has to do with the money. The mayor can't just create and put somebody in a job because the mayor doesn't have the power to pay them. City council has to vote that they can be paid. So the number one thing that I've spent a lot of time talking with people about is the fact that civil service represents an employment opportunity that is unique, but it also has tremendous benefits. Let's focus on Columbus for just a moment. Columbus City employees are very well paid, no matter what job we're talking about. So whether it's a welder, a person who works on street repair, the water treatment, or an administrator who sits at a desk, the pay ratio is a very good pay ratio to private industry. Columbus offers tuition reimbursement. In other words, an education pipeline. And for many people now who face such huge student loans and debt for their education, that's a tremendous advantage. Civil service provides the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System for workers, and it is an excellent retirement program. So we have pay, tuition, retirement. We also have job security. Many young people feel that in the employment process and working that they are subject to mistreatment. And one of the things about civil service is if a person feels that they have been mistreated or that there is a discipline that is unfairly applied to them, they can actually appeal and have a fair hearing in the Civil Service Commission's trial board appeal process. And then the ultimate thing is that we have a number of people. We have people who volunteer for the military, who want to serve in police or fire departments. We have 911 call takers who are dispatch emergency response. We have parks and recreation. We have roads and streets. We have administration and finance. And a lot of people have seen the medics responding out of the fire department, but with the emergency health and resources that that represents. So all of those are within what employment by the city of Columbus can mean. And of course, my concern is that we have too many citizens who don't know about those opportunities. And then the second part of that is who don't take advantage of those opportunities.
Well, you know, you've given such a very complete response to the question about positions and how to get into civil service and serving the Columbus community. And I think I have a question for you. But before we go there, I'd like to ask you, if people are interested in finding out more about Civil Service Commission, because you say so many people don't know about it, and they are interested or have a friend or a child, a grandchild themselves, who might be interested in looking for such wonderful employment opportunities to serve the city of Columbus, how might they get more information? Is there a website, or how can they get this information online?
Well, the best resource online is the civil service at columbus.gov. civilservice@columbus.gov. Now, that website is actually a part of the City of Columbus website. So if a person went to City of Columbus website, they would, in that City of Columbus at columbus.gov, there is a department breakdown on that, and it could get you to the one I just mentioned, which is civilservice@columbus.gov. That will list all kinds of information about testing, the background information on why civil service was created. It will also, it's a source of postings concerning job openings and opportunities. Right now, in terms of the national news and so forth, the applicants for positions on the police in the police department or the police division are certainly what gets a lot of publicity. But we have instances where a person is an excellent mechanic, and a lot of citizens don't know that we actually have many people who work as mechanics, because all of those city trucks out there, the snow removal, all those different things, those are maintained by mechanics who happen to be civil servants and work at a Columbus facility. So when we talk about getting that information, if you go to the website, and for a lot of young people, they're aware of how to use the internet and the websites and so forth for information. But what I've found over many years is that the number one connection so often is a female relative, a grandmother, a mother, a sister, a cousin, who, when they come in contact with the information, they say, John or Bob or William, you've been searching for a job opportunity. Why don't you add the Civil Service Commission and the information about employment by the City of Columbus to your job search?
That's wonderful. You can hear that you're very passionate about civil service and serving the citizens of Columbus and helping others to learn how they can become civil servants and have excellent careers. And that's one of the important things that Faith and Family tries to do. We're trying to bring information that will help people to live lives that are uplifted and abundant. And you have certainly described an employment that helps people to live abundantly, certainly as God wants us to do. Now, I want to ask you, why are you so dedicated to civil service?
Well, actually, civil service is the location of my dedication, but I have, from childhood and what I learned from my parents and my family about serving is something that I adopted, and I have tried to serve to the best of my ability wherever I was.
Well, that's wonderful, and I know that you have. I have personal experience of that, and I want to share that later as we move along. Who or what is the Civil Service Commission, and are you a part of that commission for Columbus, Ohio?
At present, I serve as president of the Civil Service Commission, and I have for, I think, about 11 years, but for a long time. The Civil Service Commission is represented by three commissioners. They are appointed by the mayor. With me, I was appointed by Mayor Michael Coleman and then reappointed or continued in office by Mayor Genther. The commissioners are approved by City Council. They are, we have been sworn in to serve honestly and fairly, the city of Columbus. The commission itself then has an executive director who actually runs the department day to day. And then the employees include people who do everything from devising and making certain that the testing that we do is fair and honest, but it also has to be appropriate. So, The Civil Service Commission has a broad perspective, and I'm proud to say has been recognized nationally for its work as well as the innovation. And I say that because there was a time when people saw a firefighter, as only a male standing, you know, nearly 6 feet tall and able to do all kinds of things. Well, now we have females who serve as fully commissioned firefighters and police officers. And Columbus has been and continues to stay at the cutting edge on that. We have a number of female officers and firefighters who are in leadership and who make a decisive difference for our city. So then when it comes down to the individual people, one of the things that a lot of people won't know is civil service does a background check on all kinds of positions. And it would be easy to understand why. You can't have a firefighter going into people's homes where they're in stress, under duress, and their valuables may be right there and have somebody who's willing to just simply take them and leave. And then, of course, the other thing is we live in a culture where people abusing chemicals actually changes who you're dealing with. And I mean by that, addictions are such that people can say one thing and do something totally different. So civil service is very conscious of the problems that chemical abuse represents. And so people can and often are, unfortunately, disqualified because of their use of addictive elements or drugs, but it can be alcohol also, which is alcohol may be legal to purchase, but there are people who abuse alcohol as well. So the Civil Service Commission staff does all kinds of things so that the workforce for the city of Columbus is highly qualified and the best candidates and appointees that we can find And it's not just simply located here in Columbus. There are people who come from various parts of the country to work here in Columbus.
Well, that's wonderful. You mentioned that you have been president of the Civil Service Commission for 11 years, but how long have you served as a Civil Service Commissioner for Columbus?
22 years.
Well, congratulations. That's just wonderful. And thank you for your dedicated public service in so many ways that we can recount. What positions have you served? You've held the, you've been a member. I remember asking you about that, and you said, well, as a member. But you have served as, you said you're serving now, and you've served as president for about 11 years. And tell us something about what your role is in that position.
Well, one of the issues that constantly confronts government as well as various segments of the culture in the United States. Many people who are listening will realize that many, many race discrimination cases were brought in federal court, and those cases resulted in court-ordered desegregation as well as integration. So for a period of time, back in the early 70s and so forth, we had a number of people who got opportunities to serve, especially in commissioned positions with fire and with the police division. But since that time, the thrust has not been on court cases, but rather on fairness in opportunity. So Columbus has been recognized for just a tremendous improvement as or success in the diversity and the inclusion represented in those governmental employees and opportunities. So while it's not done, one of the things that I'm very pleased about and proud of is the work that has been the focus of the Civil Service Commission on including the broad community that is represented by the population of Columbus, and also the fact that the diversity represents a significant asset for our community and for the entire country.
So sort of breaking down that partisan appointments or the old boy or old girl network or system that we had for so long. And what you're saying is that Columbus is doing a great job of getting out of that system and going to merit. Is that right?
Absolutely. Merit is the key. That was the key that I was introduced to under Mayor Coleman, and it has been continued full-heartedly by Mayor Genther. Just an example. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, there was a court case that was focusing on the employment of police and fire. And the defense of the city was that they looked and the only people they could find qualified were the present police officers and firefighters. And the question that had gone unanswered was, why is it that in your safety division forces, they're all related? They're uncles and cousins and brothers. They can make it through. They are qualified. But these other people who don't have that connection, you find they weren't qualified. Well, unfortunately, left unsupervised, left without any accountability, that will go on. And unfortunately, it goes on today in many places. It is not the case in Columbus, Ohio. In Columbus, Ohio, fairness is the standard, and the accountability is spread everywhere. So I'm proud of it. I know that it will continue because the elements that are there are in place, and also the rules and requirements are being followed.
That's wonderful. That's something for the city to be proud of, and I think that's just wonderful. It's something to be celebrated, and I wish it were more widely known. It also says to people, all people that if you're interested in working for civil service, you take your test, you apply, and on merit, if you're selected, you can work well and know that you are free to do your job and not be concerned about some of the other extraneous things that historically we've had to be concerned about. Even earlier, you mentioned the appeals, that when people feel they're not being treated fairly, they aren't excluded or frozen out of the system and pushed to leave without having the right to appeal what has happened to them if they've been terminated, or if there's something that's going on and they've been reprimanded and they don't think it's fair, they can do a trial or appeals. What is that called? And give us a brief description of what that might look like and how you preside over such a thing as an appeals trial.
Okay, well, the first thing is that when I was appointed by Mayor Coleman, the Civil Service Commission had a lot of what we call trial boards. They're actually an appeal of discipline. So we had officers who and firefighters who had been disciplined, and a number of them felt the discipline was unfair. If a city employee is disciplined, they may appeal that discipline to the Civil Service Commission. If they're in a union, like the Fraternal Order of Police, they also can lodge a grievance and they go before an arbitrator. But Mayor Coleman's number one point for me at the time he was interviewing me about appointment was he wanted the trial process to be more like the judicial process, which has the fair opportunity to hear, to argue, and to attempt to persuade whoever the decision maker is. Well, that was the background that I came from, having served as a judge, so it was an easy compromise, but my commitment to it has been lifelong. The point of it is that discipline can be as much as a written reprimand, because a written reprimand will go into that person's file, and the bureaucratic strategy is to, at some point, make certain that everything in your file can come out as a justification for whatever the next step is. So we have had people who were terminated, and as a result of the Civil Service Commission trial on the appeal, they have been reinstated. Or it's possible that they were not reinstated because the discipline was merited. We also have had people with as low as 10 hours or 15 hours without pay. In other words, the punishment was financial punishment because they were not going to get that money. And of course, if they have the appeal, the commission considers them all the same. We're going to hear the evidence and we're going to make a decision based on what's presented in a process that's as close to what you would see in a court around the country as you're going to be able to find. And of course, the final thing is that if people don't like the decision of the Civil Service Commission, they can appeal to the Court of Common Pleas. We have very few appeals from the Civil Service Commission's ruling, and I like to think that's because the people were treated fairly and made a decision based on the evidence presented in the hearing room.
That's wonderful. It sounds like it's really a definite dedication to justice for whatever. They don't hold the complaint or the finding against the person. They allow them to be heard. They're also able to bring representation, aren't they, or witnesses?
Oh yes. I'm sorry. Trial boards. I'm sure that 97-98% of the time, the people come with an attorney representing them. And the reason for that is that it's important. We have been told about families financing the defense, or we have a few people who belong to unions that the union membership includes their being represented by an attorney. But the fact is that most of the time, people will come represented by an attorney who helps them present the best case that they can present.
That's wonderful. It's very in-depth. It's thorough. So I can understand, after a person's been heard, regardless of what the decision is, whether to uphold the discipline or to suspend the discipline and do something else, they feel heard. And while it may not be to their liking, or it might be, the decision might be support them and be to their liking, I can understand why there's so few appeals to the Court of Common Pleas. Well, on that note, I think we'll take a short break and we'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhett.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com, click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Meet America's adults over 65. 70% of them have high blood pressure. And nearly 50% of those don't have it under control. Even with Medicare Part D coverage, about 5 million adults aren't taking their blood pressure medicines as directed. So why does that matter? Because high blood pressure is one of the leading causes of heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, and death in the United States. Along with healthy food choices and regular physical activity, blood pressure medicines reduce those risks, but only if prescriptions are filled in the first place. And one in four adults with Medicare Part D skip doses or stop taking their medicines altogether. Some are reluctant to treat a problem that often doesn't have symptoms. Others get confused over when to take which pills, or worry about cost or unwanted side effects. The thing is, heart disease, stroke, and kidney disease don't care about those factors. But you can take action. Ask questions about how to correctly take your medicine and why you need it. Keep track of your blood pressure between medical appointments with a home monitor. Coordinate pill refills for fewer trips to the pharmacy. And reduce confusion by using weekly pill boxes and tracking apps. It's easy to download free tip sheets and tools to help you or your loved ones take their blood pressure medicines on time and in the right amount. To learn more, visit millionhearts.hhs.gov.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back with the Honorable Judge Grady L. Pettigrew, Jr., and today we're talking about serving civil service, and we're also talking about the Civil Service Commission of Columbus, Ohio. And we've covered a great deal in depth, and I'm glad we've had this conversation, especially because the civil service offers so many wonderful employment and career opportunities to the citizens of Columbus, to serve the citizens of Columbus. Also, I want to say congratulations to you, Judge Pettigrew, for such wonderful 22 years of service on the Civil Service Commission, dedicated service to the citizens of Columbus, Ohio. What an honor and what a treasure you are for the citizens of Columbus. Now, I have listened, and our listeners have listened, and we can hear your passion, your dedication, the things that you're proud of, the things that you feel are the accomplishments of Civil Service Commission and the department while you've been there. But I'll just ask you anyway, are there joys or things you have especially felt meaningful or glad to have been a part of? I think you've told us some of that. Are there any others?
Well, I have spent a lot of years volunteering, and I enjoyed a number of years working with young men here in the city. And in that process, not at the level maybe of mentoring, but certainly trying to advise them. And I have a position that I've kind of developed or come to concerning employment and responsibility across the board. The number one thing is, for people who have a job, there is, even back before we started having history books, a responsibility for the person to do their job. My advice is, do your job. We have a lot of people who don't show up late, show up not prepared to do work, and then are looking for some miraculous cure that says, well, nobody's going to hold me accountable for that. Well, they are. Your coworkers will, because they'll say you let them down, because if you don't do your job, it falls heavier on them. And certainly the supervisors and what have you, even if they don't say anything daily, they're keeping a record to be able to use that at some point in the future. So it's unfortunate that so few people are advised that the number one thing they need to do, if they're fortunate enough to have a job, and what I've tried to explain today is that if a person has a job with the City of Columbus, they are fortunate. They are well compensated, they have job security, and they have the opportunity for advancement. So my number one thing across the board is, if you drive a bus, drive the bus safely. If you're in finance, make sure the numbers come out right. If you're in law enforcement, protect and serve. If you're in the fire division, respond with the safety urgency that the situation involves. And so the reason I raise that is that the discipline that we have heard, and I've heard over all those years, includes a lot of people who come and say, yeah, I did all those things, but the punishment is too harsh. Well, you don't get to do those things and then decide your own punishment. That doesn't happen. And what happens is that the supervisors end up making a judgment as to where that falls on the scale. And the Civil Service Commission has had many years of dealing with what's called progressive discipline. In other words, the first time you're late shouldn't cost you your job. But if you're late every week, month after month, you're going to lose your job. So when I talk about employment and all that with students, with young men who are just entering the workforce, I say young men, young women included in that also. That's one of the things that I have constantly tried to emphasize, because in so many instances, there's a perception that you can get away with not showing up and not doing your job. And you might get away with that for a short while, but long term, you're not going to get away with it.
So that would also come in the category of a challenge. And it's a way that you're challenging young people and employees, and people can see from your life that you definitely show up. You show up for us, your family, your friends, and you show up for your community and your church. And so I was going to ask you about challenges, but I think you've kind of rolled that into your comments, and it's very important, and all people need to hear it and be reminded of it in these times. One of the things we didn't get to touch on as we move along, closing our show in a bit, we talked about appeals trials, but I also know that you meet for the commission. Don't you meet twice a month? And what kind of business, just ordinary business without violating any confidence or whatever, what do you do in those regular monthly meetings?
Well, the first thing is the Civil Service Commission has one regular monthly meeting.
Okay.
We have special meetings that are to deal with a particular topic. So just as an example, right now, we have in our country a lot of people who feel that marijuana should be legal. Well, we have this whole issue of medical marijuana and so forth, and we have a few states that have legalized marijuana, not medical marijuana. But that's not Ohio. And a lot of people don't know that every time a purchase of street marijuana is made, it's violating federal law. And so the fact that a person thinks it ought to be legal does not overcome the reality that it is not. And so what has happened and what's under debate right now is what level of use, activity, experimentation with marijuana should be accepted, and at what level should it cause people to be denied an opportunity to work for the city or certainly to be in law enforcement. That's an ongoing challenge. We have some committees by the citizens of Columbus who are having input on that very process. This has actually been going on for about a year and a half. The Civil Service Commission deals with what are the rules regarding qualifications to hold a position, and the description or the details as to what a position is. So, for example, there's a position Secretary 1, there's Secretary 2, then there may be Supervisor. Those job descriptions are approved by the commissioners, the three commissioners, based on the recommendation of the staff of the Civil Service Commission. As it turns out, we have budget concerns that we have to discuss. We have, by virtue of being a governmental agency, we have all kinds of requirements of providing information on what we're doing, what the official position is, and that's distributed. For example, when we get a new notice coming out regarding a decision of the commission, it immediately goes to 50 or 75 different recipients. And those are people who want to know on a regular basis, what is civil service doing? So that meeting that you're talking about, we actually have the discussions. We have the presentations by staff, and so that when the three commissioners decide that there is agreement, we can actually operate on the basis of two of the three agreeing. But for my tenure, we have not tried to operate on that basis. We've tried to keep working on it until the three of us can agree.
And so you work towards consensus.
We work toward consensus, and that has been honored for, I know, certainly more than 15 years that I've been involved. And the point of it is, we don't want by force of personality or something for something to go through. And there's somebody who may be there in the near future who doesn't agree, and so they just simply change things. The other thing is that in normal circumstances, if people of goodwill talk and debate, they can come out with reasonable decisions and accommodations if necessary. So we don't operate on the basis of emergency. We work on the basis that we need the time, we need to deliberate, and we need to come out with sound decisions. And so that's what our monthly meeting is based on. Yeah, when we go into the hearing room, there are people there. We have media presence. We have employees. We have people from different agencies and offices. They want to keep track of what we're doing, but what we do is actually delivered to the public at those monthly meetings.
So your meetings are open to the public?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ohio law requires that public agencies conduct their business in open meetings. That's Sunshine Law.
And, okay, the public is there. Is there a way for input, or do they just listen and then possibly write questions or whatever? How are they able to participate, or is it just through witnessing? And that's great.
Well, the first thing is that changes in the rules, regulations, and details regarding employees of the City of Columbus, those are processed and worked on by the Civil Service Commission staff. And so if they were going to do something regarding the qualifications of people in the water treatment plant, the first participants of that would be the supervisors of the water treatment facility, starting with the head of that department and all of the various supervisors. If any of those workers are a member of a union, the union representatives would participate. They actually have meetings, and they end up with a recommendation that is based on the input of the affected parties. So when, there won't be the individual employee that makes the decision, but that group collectively will end up agreeing with a recommendation that's then brought. We hear those at that regular monthly meeting. We are given the information in terms of what research was done. The research can include the investigation of how it's done in other cities. A good deal of the work of the Civil Service Commission includes investigating how civil service treats these various issues in cities that are considered large cities. Columbus is the 14th largest city in the country. Large cities, but in some cases, what are they doing in smaller cities? And the reason for that is because, just as an example, the digital world has developed in a different perspective in the 22 years that I've served on Civil Service Commission. We didn't have a digital resource department back when I was appointed. We do now. And as a result of being able, the city shut down, and we were able to do things on a virtual basis because the city has adapted and accommodated digital meetings as well as action during this pandemic. So when we talk about the input comes from a wide range of sources. And the Civil Service Commission, after satisfied that everybody's been consulted, and this is the best recommendation for the City of Columbus, the city, we vote on everything, and there's the official record that goes back to the 1920s when the charter was committed about the decision of civil service commissioners on these various issues.
Well, this has just been a wonderful conversation about civil service serving on civil service and the commission and your service, your dedication and your testament to serving the citizens of Columbus with justice and with wonderful representation. You've served for 22 years and you're retiring effective February the 4th on the commission. It's a wonderful portion of your long dedicated life to public service. It's just a portion of it, these 22 years, and I have witnessed how dedicated you are and how much you've enjoyed it and how fair you have been about it. You've served as a federal bankruptcy judge, just to mention a few things, a practicing attorney, sharing through pro bono work and justice, decorated military veteran, and you pioneered many years ago a continuing legal education for lawyers before it was mandated through your organization of Key Facts Legal Institute, because you saw young lawyers coming into your courtroom not having some of the information that would help them to represent their clients better. And so you organized Key Facts Legal Institute, and it served hundreds and hundreds of lawyers before that even became mandated. You've been a wonderful volunteer, and you were nominated for the Jefferson Awards because of a lot of your work in volunteering in the community through community boards, being a trustee, for example, a president of the Urban League Board, and many other ways that you have served this community. Judge Grady L. Pettigrew, thank you for your servant leadership, heart, and actions. Thank you for being our guest, not only to share your civil service commissioner journey, but to educate our audience about how civil service serves Columbus and its citizens, and how, if interested, they can get involved in serving the city of Columbus through civil service. Thank you so much, Judge Pettigrew, for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for having me, and continued blessings on you and your entire audience. Thank you.
We are so glad to have you. And now, Faith and family members, we would like to end with a closing prayer for public servants. Almighty and eternal God, I praise and thank you for calling Judge Pettigrew and others to be civil servants to serve your people. Give them your anointing and help them not to seek power nor position, but rather make all civil servants a vessel of your grace to touch the lives of your people in Columbus, Ohio, and seek to be worthy of your love. Lord, mold the civil service employees and the commission to your heart. Use them as a channel of your compassion. Help them to be worthy of your trust, that they may be an instrument of peace and justice and hope for everyone. Give your civil service servants courage to be an agent, to be agents of change, to achieve your dream of transformation. And finally, we ask you to heal our land and restore faith and righteousness in our nation. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Start. It starts in the ocean, okay. And when I starts my day, okay. Look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter.
Take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping? Never. Let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountain tops with snow. The Sierras in the Rockies. Snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. I'm riding. We'll hit you with the super soaker. Life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.